Ministry, we are doing our summer menu, which means we do not need to have cakes baked by individuals. You don't have to turn your ovens on. We'll be doing a cold supper, and we'll be purchasing desserts. So, but we will, starting about 3:30, we don't need to come in and cook earlier, but probably about 3:30 we'll start to gather and get things ready for serving at 5:30, and that's this coming Friday. Also, you'll see the insert in the bulletin for the housing families' backpacks, and the deacons have purchased backpacks, so now we need to start to try and help fill them. And there is a list here on the insert. Again, don't feel that you have to purchase everything. I've been told that the stores have started their back to school sales. Some of the circulars are in today's paper. So if you'd like to help, you know, with some of our children in our greater Malden community with back to school supplies, please feel free to do so. So at this time, I invite you to turn in the hymnal to selection number 550. Let us read responsively from God's holy word as we prepare our hearts and our minds for worship. Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you."
Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Freely you have received, freely give.
Be strong and courageous. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go.
Our opening hymn is Living for Jesus, number 496. Those who are able are invited to stand as we sing together. God, you are always close to us. Help us to draw close to you in prayer. You are always willing to hear from us. Help us to listen for your word. You are always loving us. Help us so that we may learn to live for you. We ask this in the name of him who lived for you and died for us and conquered death for us, Jesus Christ our Lord. We now pray as he taught, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Be seated. spirit of prayer, we have an opportunity to share celebrations, concerns with each other, and then spend some moments in silent and corporate prayer together. We want to continue to remember Lucille Berry, who's at home in Lawrence, able to be here today. We want to keep Dorothy in prayer as well as she's preparing to move back to New England. So we're just going to pray that, you know, she'll be able to complete her business very soon, be able to come back and be with us. And we want to keep Peggy in prayers. Peggy's getting ready for surgery
next Monday.
Next Monday, week tomorrow. So I want to keep Peggy in prayers. So she's preparing for some major surgery there. And we're going to keep her in our prayers. I want to keep Linda Glover in prayer. You know, Linda's still with us, and we can thank that. But she is recovering from emergency eye surgery. And we want to keep you in prayer as well. And we have a celebrity with us this morning, Cindy Huddy. A stranger, we haven't seen her in a few weeks. Cindy's back. Continue to pray for Cindy and Chuck and Michael, that Cindy continues her recuperation and recovery from surgery. Also, in case here today too, and able to be here, and we are glad that you're well enough to be here, but undergoing some therapy, I know, so just don't want to keep being in prayer as well. If you have any requests for prayer, any celebrations or concerns you'd like to share with the church family?
Peggy? For my son, Lenny, he's on the road.
Right. He's moving from Alaska to Maine, about 10 days worth. He and his wife are each traveling in different vehicles, driving together with different vehicles.
He's going to make sure she stays awake because she falls asleep on the
ride. So about a 10-day journey, and they left yesterday. So we want to keep Lenny and family in prayers.
They left 1 in the morning.
And Naomi?
My Nana boy is not doing so well. Okay. She fell about a week or so ago. And she broke a rib on her left side. She's trying to get better. So
Vienna Boy fell and broke a rib and is not doing real well. So we want to keep her in prayer today. Betty, you have somebody?
Yes. Henry Fleming is going to go to bring him home and his husband tomorrow.
Okay.
And have surgery day.
You can pray for him for a few weeks out of it. It's got to surgery out of it. Eleanor?
I saw an accident on the way here on Charles Street.
On Charles Street, so we pray for those involved in that accident on Charles Street just a few moments ago. Hey, Richard?
Well, we've been praying for Heather, Dale's friend. Mm-hmm. You know, she was scheduled for her bone marrow transplant on the 16th, but they have found leukemia in her bone marrow. So that's off for now. We don't know what's happening.
Michael, you know, reported last week and asked for prayers and said.
Well, she was doing great last week.
Well,
it was a big
they
setback.
Basically didn't know. It was back to square one as far as what treatment plans.
Right now, yeah. So, meeting with the oncologist.
So we want to keep Heather in prayer.
16. Gail's down there right now. So when Friday night, like that, you know.
So we keep Heather in prayer as, you know, doctors are trying to decide what they can do.
What's next?
What they can do. Yes,
morning. Continue to pray for my younger brother who had cardiac surgery 3 weeks back.
Okay, yep.
He's going through rehab right now.
Okay, so I'll give you both for cardiac rehab.
Okay. And Matthew, remember Terry?
Yep.
And she passed.
Oh, really?
She was on a trip to Bermuda, on a Bermuda trip.
Okay.
And it was on Facebook.
So we'll keep Terry and her family in prayer.
Yeah, she had an accident while she was on the ship, and she had severe brain damage. She died July 7th.
So we'll keep Terry and her family in prayer as well. Steve, did I see your hand?
Yeah, next Wednesday I will fly to Denver. The drive from Denver to Boston. I'll pick my wife up.
Wonderful.
Oh,
yeah.
Great.
So is she able to move here or just for a visitor?
Oh, dear.
That's wonderful. Steven has been living and working here while his wife lives in Denver, and their two children are in China. And so the family's been split up, but now, you know, your wife's going to be able to move here, so that's wonderful news. We're praying for that. And we continue to pray, though, that your children at some point will be able to get their visas and be able to come to the United States. There's been a travel issue problem with them, being able to get the visas, so they don't still remain separated. But we sell that as a wonderful celebration that your wife's able to come. So you're going to go get her, so that's great. And you have friends that you'll be able to see in Denver, hopefully by the end of June. And a couple friends that were here a few weeks ago visiting you. That's great. Any other requests for her?
Lee.
Yes.
Lee has graduated from medical school.
Yes.
You can say yay.
So Lele's graduated from medical school here in the United States.
In the United States, that's right.
And she's working, I know you told me, I don't remember now.
She was at St. Elizabeth's.
Right.
She will be working at the University of Mass in Worcester.
You do Mass Worcester, it's where she'll be. So it's a wonderful celebration. We'll also remember Lele several years ago. Basically trained medical and had to get more training here in the States to be recognized. And did that and got to do that. It was a great celebration.
Any other? I have another celebration. Sure. My daughter will be going to UMass Amherst in the fall.
Well, that's wonderful. That is a celebration. UMass, another UMass Amherst student.
That's wonderful.
Any other requests for prayer? If not, then let's go to God. Lifting up some of these requests or something that's on your heart. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for the opportunity of spending these few moments in conversation with you, an opportunity to perhaps bear our deepest secrets to you, our deepest longings, perhaps our best joys that are beyond what we can share with one another, that we are able to share with you, and we know that you hear us, and we thank you for that. Lord, through our faith, we believe that you are able to receive all of our prayers at any time during the day. We don't understand how you're able to do that because it's beyond our understanding, but through faith we believe that you are able to do that. We thank you that you are always there for us. Lord, we have lifted up several requests today, many with health issues, some that are undergoing treatment right now or diagnoses or trying to find a treatment plan for their illnesses, and we just lift them up to you now. We lift up the medical teams. We're caring for those folks. We pray for others who are awaiting surgeries and just pray for them that they may have a calm time while they're awaiting for this. But we also pray for those medical teams that will be caring for them during and after surgery as well. And we celebrate with Cindy today and others that are recuperating from surgery and whether it's heart surgery, back surgery, whatever type of surgery, but the recuperation process is lengthy. Often much longer than surgery was. Lord, we just thank you that you are a God of healing. And we do pray for those that are in a healing process, that your healing may take place in their lives according to your will for them today. Lord, we do just thank you for this summer weather, the warmth. We are mindful of the cold winter and the snow that we have. We just enjoy being able to be outside, being with one another, and just enjoying this time. Lord, we pray for those who are traveling today, whether it's on a vacation, whether it's relocation, or whatever. We just pray that there may be safety on the roads. We think of the accident that Eleanor saw this day. We pray for those who are involved in that accident as well, and pray that they may not be injured too seriously. And just pray for safety on whatever mode of transportation is taken. Or the time of oftentimes of trips during the summer, Lord, we just pray for safe journeys and safe travels for all of those who have been embarking on those travels this time. We pray especially for Stephen as he's been reunited with his wife. Lord, we just celebrate that. And we pray, Lord, for others' families who are separated. We just pray that they too may be reunited at some point. We also pray, oh God, for the boys of Stephen and his wife, that they too may soon be able to be reunited so it may be a full family unit here in the States.
just pray that the immigration process may move smoothly and quickly for the boys to come here. Where we have so many things in the news that we hear about that get us down, that we may feel depressed about, that we may shake our heads and say, what is our world coming to? Lord, we turn to you as a God of hope, a God of peace. Lord, we turn to you for the good news. We ask that we may be able to share good news when we hear such bad news, that we don't brush it off, but that we're able to recognize it, empathize with it, but then offer a word of good news, of good hope to those that are struggling today. Lord, we lift all of these things up to you now in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. We have an opportunity now to worship by presenting our tithes and our gifts as the ushers receive the morning offering. Of these gifts and all your blessings to us, that we may share the good news of Jesus Christ with others, that they may come to know him as their personal Lord and Savior. We ask this in his name. Amen.
Thank you.
You may be seated. Dave Latta is our lay worshiper leader today, and we'll be reading the scripture.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Today's scripture is from Mark chapter 6, verses 6 to 13. Then Jesus went to the villages around there teaching the people. He called the 12 disciples together and sent them out two by two. He gave them authority over the evil spirits and ordered them, "Don't take anything with you on this trip except a walking stick, no bread, no beggar's bag, no money in your pockets. Wear sandals, but don't carry an extra shirt." He also told them, "Whenever you are welcomed, stay in the same house until you leave that place. If you come to a town where people do not welcome you or will not listen to you, leave it and shake the dust off your feet. That will be a warning to them." So they went out and preached that people should turn away from their sins. They drove out many demons and rubbed olive oil on many sick people and healed them. These are the words of the Lord.
Let's pray together. Lord, as we have read and heard this morning from your holy word, these are marching orders of Jesus to his disciples to travel very lightly, to be dependent upon those who would receive the message. Lord, we pray today that we may get some insight from these words for our daily living, that we may be more faithful in our following, more bold in our sharing of the gospel message, and more loving of others. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Several of the sermons this summer will include a travel motif, and today I'm using the imagery of travel by air. If you've been at the airport for the last, probably over 14 years, then you know that there's a heightened level of security than before 9/11. Gone are the days when families accompany their loved one to the gate area and see him or her entering the jetway and then watching the plane take off. And if you've flown, you know that we can't put guns, knives, crossbows, meat cleavers, box cutters, mace, or similar items in our carry-on luggage and expect to be allowed through security or to board the plane. But what's the problem with mascara or toothpaste or mouthwash or hair gel or yogurt or chocolate pudding and such of those things in our bag? A few personal care items are permitted in very small amounts and packed in a very special way, but not the other stuff in any quantity. The reasoning is that explosives can be disguised to look like these innocent products. So we have to either leave them at home, put them in our checked bags, or dump them out at the airport. And even some of these items, even when we put them in our checked bags, make a caution alert when the bags are x-rayed, and they sometimes have to be hand-inspected by inspectors. Actually, the Transportation Security Administration would be happier if we took nothing more than the clothes on our backs for our journeys by plane. But generally, that's not practical. Still, that's essentially what Jesus told his disciples when he sent them out in pairs to cast out demons, to heal the sick, and to call people to repentance. Take nothing for the journey, Jesus told them. Actually, according to Mark's gospel, Jesus did allow them to take a staff and to wear sandals, and of course the clothes that they were wearing. But Jesus, like the TSA, had a list of prohibited items. No bread, no bag, no money in their belts, and no second shirt or tunic was permitted. The parallel to this story in Matthew's Gospel and Luke's Gospel, Jesus doesn't even allow the staff or the sandals in his list of things that were permitted. Jesus had a reason for the items to be banned. They could be undermined, the mission on which he was sending his disciples. The disciples were to depend on God to provide that for them through the hospitality of strangers whom they would encounter in their mission work. How they traveled and were welcomed was to be itself a demonstration of God's care. If you've ever been in the airport and seen someone loaded down with luggage and wondering where are they going and how much are they bringing all their belongings with them, then there are others that travel so lightly they only get a backpack each as they travel through Europe. We're not pointing any fingers. But there is at least one couple in this here today that travels very lightly when they travel by air.
All filled with money.
But Jesus, like that TSA, had those prohibited items. And he had that reason because he wanted the disciples to demonstrate that they were relying on God for all of their daily needs fulfilled by the people that they met. So think about it. Jesus said that they were not to check any bags and could only take a staff and the clothes that they were wearing. Did Jesus pair the disciples up, I wonder, by size or by the type of clothing they were wearing? What happened on laundry day? Did they share each other's clothing? It would have been very interesting, for Peter's garments may have been too big for John. Philip's clothes no doubt smelled differently than Andrew's. The attire of Matthew, the former tax collector, may have been more costly than James, the fisherman. Bartholomew's shirt may have had a rip that made it identifiable as his own. And maybe Thomas's wife was such a good seamstress that his clothing that she made for him was easily distinguished from the other 11 disciples. What would happen if they had to mix it up and if people were identified by the clothes they were wearing? A lesson for us, though, when Jesus sends us out to be his people in the world and tells us to rely on him and thus take nothing with us, we can't help but take along who we actually are, including the baggage that we normally carry. And by baggage, I am thinking of something other than suitcases and backpacks and carry-ons. Baggage is a shorthand for the burdensome personal history we drag with us that interferes with our living fully in the present. This baggage could be non-productive ways of dealing with conflict, inappropriate responses that are triggered at inappropriate moments, unaddressed fears from childhood. Perhaps our baggage is psychological damage from abuse or frightening ideas we have about God. If we're going out on God's mission and we're frightened by that. Or just about any other holdover from our past that prevents us from getting on well in our relationships or with our daily responsibilities. In fact, sometimes such baggage gets so heavy that we need counseling or psychological help to try and help us unload it. And that's difficult because we may have cloaked ourselves so heavily in counterproductive attire that we'd feel naked if we really stripped it all off. Those are some of our defense mechanisms. That's what makes us who we are. And to strip all those off might be very frightening. It might be beyond what we feel we could do. Probably most of us have some kind of baggage that travels with us, even when we think we've taken nothing for the journey. But there are a couple of helpful things that we can note from this account of Jesus sending out the 12. First, while he tells them to take nothing for the journey, he never tells them to go buck naked. That would be vulnerable. But not, he tells them to be vulnerable, but not that vulnerable. They can take their shortcomings, their scarred psyches, their damaged emotions with them, and they can still do the work to which he calls them. The wonderful thing about being called by Jesus is Jesus doesn't tell us, go get yourself put right first and then come follow me. He says, come follow me, I'll work with you, and I'll send you out, even if you're not perfect yet. They were still able to cast out the demons and to heal the sick, even though they weren't perfect. They had baggage with them. And secondly, They were working for the divine healer. Matthew says that after reporting a day when Jesus cast out spirits and healed the sick, that what Jesus had done, quote, was to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took our infirmities and bore our diseases. We need to think a moment about the word infirmities. Since it's included in an account of Jesus healing several people, we might assume that infirmities is simply a synonym for illness or disease. But in fact, there are two activities named in that prophet, from the prophet: healing, or bearing our diseases, and casting out spirits, taking our infirmities. The fact is, in the Bible, the meaning of the word infirmity or weakness means a range of things, from our sins on the one hand to our illnesses on the other. And it's reasonable to conclude that our infirmities can include our emotional baggage. And for that kind of load, the Bible suggests that we need something more that's not just forgiveness and not just medicine, but that we need divine healing. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus told his listeners not to be anxious about their lives, what they were to eat, what they were to drink, what they were to wear. He went on to point out that instead of worrying, we should trust God to take care of us as we seek God's kingdom. And some of us could always say, well, Jesus, that's easy for you to say. But, you know, it's hard for us today to live that way. But since we need to think about that, since Jesus said those things, some Christians have concluded that worry and anxiety must therefore be sinful because Jesus told us not to do it. But that's not really what Jesus meant. He said, don't be anxious. But he never said that the person is lost. The tendency to worry about everything does not mean that we're not faithful followers of Christ. It may mean, however, that we have baggage that we need to deal with. Here are some things that we might find helpful in dealing with our infirmities. They might even help us leave some of our baggage behind. First, we need to ask God to help us face our problems squarely and without rationalization. Sometimes that's very painful. We have to open ourselves up. We might find, though, that we might find it safer to do that with God than with someone else. We need to admit to God the specific reaction that interferes with our relationships and keeps us from doing things well. The second thing we need to do is to empty the poison bottle. In other words, to take a look at those whom we blame for certain things of our hang-ups and decide what we need to do to keep those memories from poisoning us today. Thirdly, we need to accept the responsibility of who we are today. In terms of understanding where our various complexes originate, it may be helpful to briefly look at what circumstances in our past have contributed to the shaping of our present personalities. But it's far too important to say, regardless of how I got where I am today, I am responsible for dealing with it now and for working to become the whole person that God intended me to be. That may even mean ignoring certain gut reactions and behaving instead in ways that may be viewed to be more mature. The next thing we might need to do to help us with our infirmities is to lay the problem before God. Sometimes counseling, support groups, and psychiatry are the first line of help in dealing with our baggage. But talking to God about the scars we bear is often a vital part of the healing process also. An unknown author wrote the following suggestions as we attempt to follow Jesus' command to take nothing for our journey of discipleship. All too often we become bogged down by the minutiae of life. So come and let go bit by bit of the stuff that are everyday lives, and take delight in the pleasure of release. How frequently we dwell on our past misfortunes, look back no more, but instead look forward to all of the possibilities the future holds and feel the excitement that fills our hearts at all that might be. We tend to fear the future and regret the past. Look instead to the fun we can have today. Life in the present is really all we have. Let's enjoy it together. How willingly we hold on to grudges and bitterness. Resentments weigh heavy. Lighten the load. Let us take love and push out hate. Take delight. Take possibilities. Take joy. Take love. Take with you into this day only that which really matters. As we prepare to embark on the journey that Jesus has called each of us to go on, may we seriously consider the baggage that we may be carrying, that he may be encouraging us to leave behind, so that we may rely and depend on him. Let's pray together. Lord, it's a wonderful thing to aspire to carry no baggage, either physical or emotional. But Lord, we are scarred people. We're humans. Lord, in these moments we come to you praying that you would help us to unpack the baggage that we carry, that we may find ways of freeing ourselves through your help, that we may be free indeed to go out and share the message of Jesus Christ. The disciples were called to preach and teach and to heal. Lord, you may be calling us to just be a good friend to someone, to share Christ's love in a tangible way, to utter words of encouragement or comfort to someone who's hurting. Lord, however you are calling us and challenging us and equipping us, help us to not say no. Help us to say, yes, Lord, here I am. Send me. And help us to unpack the baggage that may be preventing us from doing that. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is I'll Go Where You Want Me to Go, number 538. May God's Spirit always journey with us. May God's Spirit lift our burdens and give comfort to all of our troubles. May God's Spirit be a guide and companion as we move out into the world as followers of Jesus Christ. May the world know that we are the disciples of Jesus, living in the world, creating the world fresh and new. Let us go in His name. Amen.